Please be seated. Today I have a story for you, a kind of parable, if you will. It's a story or a parable that I first heard several years ago, and one that so resonated with me, so struck me that I was deeply changed. It changed my life. It changed my relationship with God tremendously. And so this morning, I want to share it with you. Imagine that our lives are, in the eyes of God, like these 10 apples. 10 apples God gives us. That is our life and everything about us. Our possessions, our well-being, everything that is us is like these 10 apples in the eyes of God. And 9 of them, God says, 9 of them are for you to use. 9 to be used of these ripe, delicious, beautiful apples for your health and for your well-being, for your home and for all of your sort of basic necessities. 9 apples to be used for providing for your children, for their education, for their growth and formation. 9 apples to be used for times of pleasure, times of contentment, times of joy. 9 apples to be used for saving, for preparing for the future, for things that are yet to come. 9 apples God gives us to be used for our whole lives, for everything that we need. But 1 of the 10 apples of our lives, God says, is mine. It is mine, and I ask that you return it to me. And I ask that you return it to me as a sign of your relationship with me, as a sign of your gratitude for everything that you have in your life, as a demonstration of your thankfulness, as a sign of your commitment to be in relationship with me. I ask you to return this apple as a sign of all that. But even more than that, God says, I ask you to give this apple to me because I have purposes for this apple. I have things that I intend to do in this world, purposes that I intend to accomplish with this apple. I have things in store as I establish the kingdom on earth that require that apple, things that you can't even imagine. And so I ask you to return to me that 1 apple of the 10 that you have been given. But typically, here's what happens with us. I know it happens for me. As we think about our lives, we think about everything that's going on in our lives, all of the stuff we want to do, the cool stuff and exciting stuff, the stuff that just seems like really great. And we think about that, and then we also hold that up against our basic needs, our responsibilities. I mean, the bills, you got to pay the bills. And we look at our 9 apples, and we're like, 9 apples, not going to cut it. Totally not enough. 9 apples. How could I possibly do all that other stuff? How could I take care of all the stuff I have to do and all the fun stuff I want to do with 9 apples? And so we start to look at that 10th apple. And we look at it longingly because it begins to look delicious, extra delicious. And then in the course of our lives, as things, you know, happen, decisions come up. Events, circumstances that require us to make decisions. And so we pick the apple up. Because, you know, there's this trip that I really want to take with my family. And it would be really good family time. And, you know, the Lord wants me to, you know, love my family and take care of my family and be with my family, right? I mean, that's something that the Lord wants. And it's this really great trip, and it's a little expensive. But I'm pretty sure the Lord won't mind if I just take a little bit, just a little bit. Yeah, that's good. And then Christmas time comes up. Oh, Christmas time, that most wonderful time of year when we give gifts to everyone to demonstrate that we love them, our family and our friends. And God wants us to be generous God wants us to show our love and thankfulness to our friends. But I didn't, you know, I didn't save any money from my nine apples to buy presents for, you know, my family and friends. So I'm just going to take just, you know, just a little bit of the Lord's apple because, you know, I think the Lord would want me to do this. The Lord would want me to give gifts to my friends. So I'm just going to take a little bite. He won't mind. Oh, that's good. And, you know, retirement's coming up. And it's coming up sooner than I thought. And I haven't really set aside very much, you know, not as much as I, well, probably should have. And it's coming up, and I need to be stable and secure in my retirement. The Lord wouldn't want me to not be secure in retirement. I mean, God wants me to enjoy my mature years, so I just need to, I just need to take a little bit. It's just a little bit. So I'll just take that. I don't think the Lord will mind. And then, you know, I got to get to work. And I guess my car works sort of well. I mean, I guess. But, you know, I could get to work a lot faster if I got that new car. And I'm pretty sure the Lord would like me to get to work faster. So I'm just going to, And then, well, it's Super Bowl time. And I don't really know what that has to do with God. But I'm pretty sure that he would like me to have this new big screen TV because it's really sweet. So I'm just going to take, you know, a little bit more. It's just so good. I just can't help myself because it just is so good. And, well, after a while, I'm not even thinking about it anymore because I just enjoy it so much. So I just, Lord, your apple is so delicious and I just can't help it. Oh, it's so good. And then we take the apple. And we say, here you are, Lord. This is yours. This fall, we're going to be spending time thinking about how our lives are like 10 apples. Reflecting on the ways that 9 apples are enough. More than enough. We're going to take time to sit back and really ponder our whole lives. Our time and our possessions. Our talents and skills. And yes, even our money. So that we can acknowledge that it is enough. That we have enough right now. Because when the truth of that really begins to sink in, when the truth begins to sink deep into our souls and our minds and our imaginations, that we really truly have enough right now, that we don't need more time, that we don't need more possessions, that we don't need more skills, that we don't need more money. When the truth of that begins to sink in, a few things start to happen. First, our lives get simpler. They get simpler because we decide to get off the treadmill of pursuit and ambition and accumulation. We're able to begin to say no to the Joneses, whose new toys and whose new cars and whose new houses and whose new everything, because they always have something new, is so tempting to us. To want. And then we're able to be grateful for what we have rather than so constantly fixated, spending all of our emotional and spiritual energy wanting what they have, fixated on what we don't have. Now, life may not get easier, admittedly, but it can be surprisingly satisfying and joyful when life is spent in pursuit of things that really, actually, truly matter. Now, the second thing that can begin to happen when we truly believe that we have enough right now, enough time, enough possessions, enough talent, skill, enough money, is we begin to be generous. And when you think about it, this makes sense, because when we realize that what we have now is enough, the desire to keep and to hold on to everything so voraciously, so intensely, it begins to diminish. The voices inside of us that are constantly telling us to be afraid, to accumulate, to aspire, to acquire, those voices get quieter and quieter, and eventually those voices within us give way to the divine voice within each of us that urges us to give more and more of ourselves away, more of our time, more of our possessions, and yes, more of our money. And so we become more generous. It just happens. As Christians, we are exploring these themes of sufficiency and simplicity and generosity, not simply because they are noble or admirable characteristics in and of themselves, though of course they are, or because living simpler and more generous lives is good for our health and happiness. Social scientists prove to us again and again in their studies that it's actually good for us. But that's not why we're exploring it this fall. As Christians, we explore sufficiency and generosity because we believe in a God who is enough. We believe in a God who blesses us with more than enough. We follow a Christ who gave extravagantly and generously, and who calls each of us to do the same. In today's gospel, Jesus has some questions for his first disciples. Questions that he's also asking each of us. There it is. First, he asks them, and us, "Who is it that you say that I am?" Who do you say that I am? Am I the creator of all things? Am I the one that gave to you everything that you are and everything that you have? And if that's true, then what does that mean for your life? Am I the ruler of heaven and earth, the Lord says, the Lord of your life, the Lord of your heart? And if so, what does that mean for your life? Am I the Messiah? Am I the Savior? Am I the Christ? Am I the one who took up the cross, the one who lived and died and rose again, giving away everything for love of you? And if so, what does that mean for your life? If any want to become my followers, Jesus says, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world and forfeit their life? And indeed, Jesus says, what can they give in return for their life? What can we give in return for our lives? Can we give a whole apple? One out of the 10 that have been given to us. A whole apple instead of one that is, you know, ABC'd, already been chewed. Can we give of our time? Can we truly seek and serve Christ in all persons? Can we give of our money joyfully and generously to the church and to ministries and organizations that are unquestionably doing God's work in the world to spread the kingdom throughout the world? Can we give of ourselves, our souls and bodies, our love and our labor, losing ourselves for the sake of Jesus who gave himself for us? For these next several weeks, we have an opportunity to consider how our lives are about more than mere verbal profession of the Lordship of Christ. We have an opportunity to consider how our lives have been consumed more by keeping up with the Joneses than carrying our crosses. We have an opportunity to seek out ways to simplify our lives and to discover the deeper joy that comes through sacrifice. We have an opportunity to give more in return for our lives than what's left over, the chewed up remains of the Lord's apple. We have an opportunity to ask ourselves if we are ready to start losing our lives so that we may actually save them. And all of God's people said,